Today, we start our study of the book of Revelation. The word revelation means unveiling. If there's any book of the Bible that seems to be veiled, it's this one. But it shouldn't be. Why is it? It's not being read. Yet it's the only book of the Bible that begins and ends with a blessing pronounced on those who read and heed it. Revelation 1:3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Revelation 22:7 says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." In our Bibles, in presenting this book, we read the revelation of St. John the Divine. That's wrong. Why? John was a saint, as all believers are saints. Sinners is our old name. Saint is our new name. The difference? Jesus. Only Jesus can make a sinner a saint. John was a saint, but he was not divine. Nor is this book a revelation of John. It's a revelation of Jesus. The title of this book is found in Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. This book isn't a revelation of a prophetic plan, but of a person, Jesus. Some people think the book of Revelation isn't needed, but remove it from the Bible and it's like having a belt without a buckle. It's the crowning book of the Bible. Genesis gives us the beginning, Revelation the consummation. Genesis presents the creation of the heavens and earth. Revelation presents the new heaven and the new earth. Genesis presents the earthly paradise with the tree of life and the river of blessings lost through sin. Revelation presents the heavenly paradise with the tree of life and the water of life proceeding out of the throne of God. Paradise regained through Christ's death. Genesis presents the first man and his wife ruling over God's creation. Revelation presents the second man and his bride ruling over the redeemed world. Genesis presents the first typical sacrifice, the Lamb. Revelation presents the true sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Genesis presents the first sinner, the first murderer, the first rebel, the polygamist, the drunkard. Revelation presents only saints, with all sinners banished from his presence forever. Genesis presents man's city. Revelation presents God's city. Genesis presents sorrow, sickness, sobbing, things that accompany sin. Revelation presents God wiping away all tears and God welcoming his redeemed into a home where there's no more sin, sickness, death, despair, just glory. There are several schools of thought on the book of Revelation. First, there's the non-literal or allegorical approach. These are the spiritualizers. They say, this book isn't a representation of actual things and events. It's a symbol of a great struggle between good and evil. But in the end, good will triumph over evil. I don't like spiritualizing the Bible. We should take the Bible for what it says and what it means. We should preach it as it is, whether we understand it all or not. One of these spiritualizers said to Spurgeon, "Tell me what it means." He answered, "Just what it says." Second, there's the preterite approach. These say, the book of Revelation is a record of the conflicts of the early church. It's a symbolic history. These prophecies were fulfilled in the days of Nero, under whose reign Peter and Paul were martyred, when Christians were used as torches on the streets at night. They add, it had a message for those who lived in that day. It has no message for us today. It's like any other religion of antiquity. It's a book to be put in a museum. It's descriptive, not predictive. Forget it. Third, there's the historical approach. They say the book of Revelation is a panorama of the history of the church, a symbolic presentation of the total of church history from the apostolic days until the end of the age. They see the history of the world pre-written in symbols and signs. They see in it the rise of the papacy, the corruption of the church, and the Great Reformation. Those who have followed this view interpret the book as, in some sense, climaxing in their generation. But it's impossible to understand Revelation unless one has a thorough knowledge of history, the history of the nations where Christianity has been felt. Fourth, there's the futuristic approach. This is the view of the conservative expositors and the premillennialist. I hold to this view. The first three chapters refer to the present church dispensation. Chapters 4 through 19 relate to the tribulation period, a period of 7 years. Chapter 19 speaks of the second coming of Christ to the earth. Chapter 20 speaks of the future millennial kingdom which follows. Chapters 21 and 22 speak of the events either contemporary or subsequent to the millennium. You may ask, why do you hold to the futuristic approach? First, there has never been in the history of humanity the terrors and tragedies, such judgments as are recorded in the book of Revelation. Second, Revelation speaks of resurrections that are yet to come to pass, of God's people being raised from the dead. This hasn't been experienced. The cemeteries are still filled with the bodies of the believers. Third, if this is the millennium, with all of the death, despair, disease, depravity, devilishness, and the devil, then there's no hope. The Bible doesn't mean what it says. God isn't God. Satan isn't bound now, but he will be bound then. Thank God we're going to live in a day when there will be no more sin or sorrow, no more devil or devilishness, only Christ and Christianity, only peace and paradise forever. Tell me, will you be living with Christ and the Christians in that day?